Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time together, this fellowship of like-minded believers, Lord. We thank you, Father, for bringing us all into that one accord, that powerful one accord, Lord, and we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, for being our God, for your grace and your mercy upon us, Father. And we thank you for the signs and wonders that will go out after the preaching, Lord. Sometimes before, sometimes after, Father. And we just praise you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's leading and guidance, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the revelations out of the Word of God as well. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us tonight and blessing us with your presence, Father. And your Holy Spirit's anointing and leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. You're just so awesome, Lord. We're just waiting on revival. We know it's fixing to start most any time, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. Okay. How many of you know that there's going to be a revival soon? Going to be a big revival coming. And you know something? You remember what happened in Jesus' time when Jesus was resurrected, that there were resurrected saints, dead saints, all throughout the city of Jerusalem. And we had Don had a dream here about his brother came to visit him and who had been dead since 2009. In this dream, he'd come to visit him, and he had told him that he was going to go see his children in Charlotte, and said he had a good car, and he had all the money he needed, coming straight from the Father, you know, that he was going to go see his children, and said he was going to swing out and meet Don's children, too. Now, how many of you know when you see some dead loved one come alive, and they talk to them about Jesus, they're going to listen? Uh-huh. How many of you know that? Praise God. Man, that just lit me on fire when I heard that dream, because I know God's going to utilize that in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I guess we'll open up with any prayer requests or any anybody that like prayer.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gayno, go ahead.
I was going to pray for Tracy's dad. She was saying that he just had an appointment this week, and the doctor told him that he needed to have a valve replaced in his heart, and he is choosing not to have that done. And so she is wanting us to agree with her in prayer that her dad's heart valve will be fixed. We know that God can do that. And I would just like to pray for that and also for Tracy.
All right. Do you want to pray?
Yeah, I can. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your presence with us. I thank you for your love for Tracy and for her dad and for her whole family. And Father, we just, Tracy is wanting to believe that you will give her dad a new heart valve, because they have given him like 2 months to live if he does not have this surgery that they're wanting to do. And he's choosing not to do that, and she wants us to stand in faith with her that you will replace his heart valve, believing that this would be a witness for her sister to believe you, Father, to know that you do hear our prayers. And I also lift up Tracy she's having to take some timed test for the job that she's taking. They have they're under some new management, and now she has to go through a series of tests. And she said, "We just pray, Father, that she not get nervous, and that you just give her clear thinking and correct answers quickly, because everything is timed." And we just thank you, Father, for being with Tracy and being with her family. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Is he wanting to believe God? Is that what it is, Gayno?
Yes, she is. She is.
Okay,
yes.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Lord, we thank you for giving him. What's his name?
His name is Daryl.
Okay, Father, we thank you for giving Daryl great and bold faith, Lord, to continue on believing you for this vow. Continue on believing you for his complete healing in Jesus' name, and not to even worry about it. Go on, do what he's got to do every day and not even worry about what the doctors say. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for giving him rest, the old sabbatismo rest, that you're in charge and ain't nothing going to happen without your say-so. And we praise you, Father, that's what's going on right now in Jesus' name in Daryl's life. And Lord, we hook our faith up with Gano's and Tracy's, and we just thank you, Lord, that this man is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, who believed.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anything else, Gano?
No, that was all.
Okay. Anybody else?
Michael, you're still there?
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
No, I just heard silence. I'm running around outside I can barely hear the speakerphone. I mean, you know, so I thought I lost you.
No, I was just waiting to see if anybody had any prayer requests or would like to pray.
Well, I'd like to pray. I mean, we're all praying this way for our families. And we're continuing just to stand in faith. It's hard in the natural, you know, not just our immediate family, but our extended families. And it's hard to hard to imagine a complete change where somebody is just filled with the Spirit and working on the gifts and all this kind of thing when it seems so opposite now, you know. So I think we're praying for that. I know you're praying for that with your family. And
amen. You know what I'm going to do right now since you brought that up? I'm going to read this lyrics to We Call Out Dry Bones again, because it is so awesome to me. It is. It says, through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God. Yours is the victory. We know there's more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. And we call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. O God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter. Bring us back the wayward son. By your Spirit, breathe upon them and show that you alone can save. You alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. And we call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Come up out of the ashes. Let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God, breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. And we call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Come up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. Boy, that ought to get your juices flowing there, boy. I'm telling you what, we can call them out, can't we? We've got household salvation that the Lord has promised us, and we can do that. We can call out to them dry bones to come alive and start naming your family members and your friends that you've been praying for all these years, and start telling them, come alive in the name of Jesus. That's what I've been doing. Praise God. All right. Anybody want to pray? Okay. Anybody got any praise reports or testimonies? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Matthew.
I'd just like to give the testimony of our trip over and down here, and it was a trial from the very beginning. When we left Spokane, I was looking over my shoulder to go into the middle lane, on the freeway, and there was nobody coming. And so when I start just pulling in, some person came out from the far lane and came into the center lane, and we almost collided, but I saw it just in time and avoided it. And I praise the Lord on that one, because he was really, really watching out for us since we prayed, you know, before we left that that we will arrive there in one piece, and that no scratches or dents, and we won't get into any wrecks or go off the road at any point. And we arrived in Montana and stayed a day, and then my in-laws let us know that there was tornado warnings for the area that we were traveling through. So we looked at the weather for the areas we were traveling through, so it looked pretty clear, so we went ahead and started traveling. And I think it was, yeah, it was that trip later on, there was some dark clouds up ahead, and you could see that there was a storm coming. But, you know, we prayed that we will not hit a tornado, and a tornado will not come near us in the name of Jesus. And we made it before that storm ever crossed the freeway, and we made it past all the storm areas. And the second day of traveling, and then we made a little detour by the will of God the third day, and then we arrived safely in Tennessee on the fourth day and met you all, and have been having such a wonderful and blessed experience worshiping and being a family here, and getting to know some of the locals and putting some faces to the names. So I just want to praise the Lord, because he is awesome, and he does everything to the counsel of his own will. And since we prayed, you know, he honored that, and we honor him for it. So thank you.
Amen. I took them riding today on the tractor. I set them up on the front end loader, and we put a couple of boards behind so they'd have a backrest, and then put a kind of a quilt or something underneath them so it'd be a little bit soft. And we went out around the mountain, so we had a pretty good time this afternoon. Enjoyed it. And then we all had supper and had some other people come over. Don and Merlene came over, and we just had a wonderful time. So it's been great having Matthew and Anna and Blake here. They've been a blessing. All right. Thank you, Matthew. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Anna.
I just wanted to add something to what Matthew said, and that I can't remember what state we were in, but one of those states on the way here. There was another incident like we had in Spokane where we were on the freeway or highway or whatever it was, and I looked over, I was in the passenger seat, and I looked over, and there's this big SUV sitting there, and it's driving alongside of us, and all of a sudden he jerks towards us, and I could see through his window that there was a car on the other side of him, and they were both, it was at the very end of the merging lane, and they were both going freeway speed, and that other car was running out of lane. There was no lane for it, and I don't know, it looks like he slammed on the brakes or something, but the SUV saw him and started to jerk into our lane, but he didn't get us. He, I don't know how it happened, because there wasn't room for all three of us in the two lanes. But God spared us there, and it was just awesome, because it was a little scary. He, you know, seeing him jerk towards us when we were right there, and but God, like I said, was in Indiana, but God spared us there. And then one other thing is that when I told my niece, my 7-year-old niece, that we were going down to Tennessee, she's like, "You're going down there to see Jesus?" And it's just so awesome, because that's exactly what happened. We came down here and we were seeing Jesus, and just the love you guys have for each other and for everybody. And it's just like unlike anything we've ever seen. It's just awesome.
Amen. Yeah, they just came in, fit right in, man. They were part of the families right off the bat. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Mike?
This is Stan. Yeah, Stan, go ahead.
Several weeks ago, we all prayed that an attack of the ants would cease in our house, and it has. So I want to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
Pray for that air conditioner and command it to work in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That air conditioner's got to work. That fan got to work in that air conditioner. That compressor got to work in that fan, in that unit downstairs. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to have cool air tonight. Thank you, Father. Lord, you know that they're from the north, and they can't handle this hot air like I can. But, Father, we praise you for your grace and your mercy upon them and get that air conditioner going. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, even though I like the hot weather, I kind of like it cool at nights. Matthew, praise God. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, the Lord just put it on my heart, so I was like, oh, I better say it.
Yeah, amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, Barbara, how are you and Bruce doing?
You talking to me?
Yeah. I said, how are you and Bruce doing?
Fine. My husband just came in from work. He woke up this morning with the symptoms, you know, of chest pains, and I was just trying to encourage him to, you know, rebuke them that that's a lie. And I kind of warned him last night that the test will probably come, you know, to test our faith. And I guess he's doing all right. I haven't had a chance too much to talk with him. He just come home.
Amen. I know he's doing all right. Praise God. Thank you,
yeah.
Lord. We prayed the prayer of faith for him, and Bruce is all right. He's fine. He's a walking, talking testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
And yes, he is. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you. All right. Anybody else? Okay. I want to read you something that David put out on the local blog. And he calls it the, it says, everything here is predicated on a direct ratio of 1:1 between the days of Jesus from the anointing of Jesus' feet to Passover to his resurrection. And those days today for the man-child. We know from previous revelations that the man-child grows very fast from birth to his ministry, unlike Jesus, which took 30 years. So this ratio is not a 1:1 there. Well, since the quake did not come around 3 o'clock somewhere in the country today, we now know it is not faster than 1:1, but is stretched out and will take longer. We don't think it is stretched out much because of things we know about other parallel timings. Also, I asked the Lord, this is David speaking, also I asked the Lord, he said it would come quickly. And I know that we've all had words in the morning meetings about this quake coming quickly. So that's where we are right now. So we just be on alert. God's going to do it. It's just going to, we don't know what the ratio is, you know, 1:1 being just like Jesus' timing. But apparently he stretched it out a little bit, which is, that's God's grace, you know, that's his mercy upon God's people and the people in the world. Hey, Malcolm, you got a mute on that phone?
Yeah, I'm sorry, my battery's dying. I was about to say something. I'll catch another phone in just a second.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Oh, okay. But anyway, that's where we are right now. And just keep looking because I know it's going to happen. We've had just the other night with y'all, you know, is it going to happen this year? And we've got all kinds of affirmative answers on that. So praise God. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add?
I'm ready for a revival.
I am too, Matthew. I am too. I'm ready to them dry bones to come alive. Praise God. I listen to that thing about I say every morning a lot by Dustin Smith. It's called, we call out dry bone. And, It's on YouTube, but Michael Farron's the one that sings it. He's one of the ones that him and Lauren Daigle wrote that thing. So that's what I do. I'm calling out them dry bones to come alive, come up out of them ashes. Praise God.
Michael, I'm back again.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
I've been out in the garden playing in the dirt. I haven't made any little paths for marbles like I used to do when I was a kid, but thought about it. You know how you make little runways and run your marbles down through tunnels. And anyway, just trying to grow things. I've had several things on my heart recently, but regarding the denomination I came out of and some of the dreams I've had, and but one thing I've been thinking about a little bit because of all the different dreams and revelations regarding the son of the man-child ministry and bride and whatnot, that is, if you look at Jesus' life, he was about 30 years old, and the first sequence of events was his showing up with John the Baptist, getting baptized, and then being driven by the Spirit out in the wilderness for a 40-day fast. And it was after that that he, his first miracle was water into wine and whatnot. But it sounds like what a lot of the revelations are pointing to is that we're actually going to start with the second 3.5-year period at the first 3.5-year point. In other words, everything that happened to Jesus' death is what we're placing at the first part of Jesus' ministry. So the reason I'm a little bit cautious about some of these things is because I got severely burned because I bought into a package in a denomination I was in before. And basically what they were doing was they created an overlay, and then you put that over the Bible, and then you look at everything has to fit into that overlay, and which means you have to start throwing Bible texts away. And like, for instance, in Daniel 8, the angel says specifically that this is for the last days. Well, the people I was hanging out with were saying, well, the last days started about 500 BC. Well, is that the intent of what the angel had to say? You see what I'm saying? So anyway, what I'm trying to do is look at the life of Jesus and looking at that as kind of the pattern to go by. And what I'm wondering is if it's possible that some of these revelations, dreams, prophecies, and whatnot, we may take them to be something for the immediate future when they might be applicable to 3.5 years from the beginning of when all this happens. In other words, we might be mixing up the different events or merging them. I'm trying to figure out if the man-child dies and is crucified and then is raised at the beginning of his ministry, what happens at the end of his ministry 3.5 years later, or not the end of his ministry, but the end of that 3.5-year period subsequent to that? Because then the types don't fit.
Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. I'm glad you asked that, because I asked David the same thing, or basically the same question the other day. And what he told me was this. He said, I asked him, I said, well, what about the end of the 3.5 years for the man-child? What's going to happen to him at that time? He said, well, he'll get a glorified spiritual spirit, a glorified spirit. In other words, he'll be right right at the throne of God all the time, I guess, is the way he kind of put it. But with all the types and the shadows, I don't see how you can kind of kick out the first 3.5 years of the man-child, of Jesus' ministry with the man-child. So that's, to me, kicking out a lot of what the Bible's already told us. So I don't know.
Well, it's I'm trying to evaluate is are there differences? There are differences in that Jesus was born of a human mother of the line of David, but his father was, as it says in Matthew, the Holy Spirit. And there's, of course, endless discussions on the nature of Christ. Was that different from the nature of, you know, a regular human person? And, you know, all the implications that go along with that, and some people will say, no, he was divine, and he can overcome, but we can never overcome because, you know, and so we just, and then you get into the whole package of well, we don't have to overcome because he already overcame for us, and we're a different, basically a different race, and it's not possible, and all this kind of stuff. But I'm not trying to go to that discussion, but I'm just saying, wondering if, because, well, I mean, fasting is a death. There was a dying going on, and then Jesus had to go through the testing there for the 40 days, especially at the end there. And, you know, you can read into the implications of Jesus being ministered to by angels at the end of that, those temptations. There's a lot you can read into that. Did the angels actually give him material food to eat? Did they strengthen him like with David's family, where they just, you know, put stuff in his blood and made, you know, got his blood sugar up and all that kind of thing? Or were they, you know, I mean, it just doesn't say what happened there. How are they helping Jesus? Was he at the point of death? You know, I have a distant cousin who did fast 40 days, and they almost died. They almost went brain dead, and their family was very upset about it because she withheld it from her, what she was doing from her family, and the doctor said a few more hours and she would have been a vegetable. So, I mean, there are times, I think, where people do come almost to the point of death when they're fasting. So I'm just trying to, you know, there's a lot of things about Jesus' life, and I'm just trying to compare that to what we're saying is, or projecting into the future. And certainly this all comes up because of revelations, direct and indirect, and dreams, visions, words, answers that people specific, you know, that many people have asked of the Lord. So it's not like we're barking up some, you know, or cranking something up here. This is a result of revelations. I think the question is, or I guess our job is to kind of put it all together and sort it out. And you know, can you still hear me, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm not really understanding what you're asking or what you're saying, other than you're thinking that we should be waiting on the last 3.5 years rather than the first 3.5 years. And I'm not understanding how you get that, but maybe you can explain. As far as a 40-day fast, there's been a lot of people had a 40-day fast and never had a minute's problem with it. It's the problem when you do it in the flesh and not the spirit that takes over. If you do it in your flesh just to show people that you can do it, that's silly. But if you're doing it and you're seeking the Lord during this time, I read of a guy, we read about that on the conference call, about this Chinese that went 75 days without eating or drinking. David's gone 7 days without eating or drinking. He did that recently. So, you know, it's just all a matter of where you are with the Lord, I guess, and how much faith you have. So that has no bearing whatsoever on whether or not you can do a fast or not, 40 days or whatever. But as far as the first 3.5 years, maybe you can explain that a little bit better, what you're saying.
Well, actually, you know, what I did, And I've already discussed this at length with on this call, but the denomination I was with in 1995 is when I started to just buckle down and start investigating this, you know, this whole prophetic thing. And the denomination has a whole, I mean, it got this whole overlay with, and...
is this something that they believe, Malcolm?
That's what, yeah, this is what they were taught by, you know, the folks that got the establishment going.
Yeah, right. But they take out a lot of the word, too, don't they?
Well,
and misuse a lot of the word as well. So anything that they say is suspect, right?
Not just suspect. It's got an ed. Well,
okay.
I better not go that far. It's,
okay.
got a, it's leading you down a primrose path to the dark
side.
Yeah. So anyway, but there's been a lot of disappointments because of the. People anticipated at a certain date something was going to happen. Of course, we've been that through a lot of that. And UBM, we thought there might be a physical earthquake back in, I don't know, 2011 or something. And, you know, so we can misread things. But I think the Lord holds his hands over things at times just to, you know, to see people can investigate their own hearts and see what's going on. So it's not...
Well, let's just hold it right there, just a second.
Sure.
Let me make some statements here. You made a statement that there was a date set, and it didn't happen. There was never a date set.
No, it happened. It happened.
It was a spiritual earthquake. They just
right.
But it didn't. It wasn't. There wasn't a date set. I don't believe I've ever heard David or anyone else in UBM set dates. He's often said, you know, this looks like this is what's going to happen. I don't know. Put it on the shelf until it was just see what happens. So,
I heard what David said back then, and he wasn't saying it was. He said specifically it could be spiritual or it could be physical. We don't know.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think what a lot of the naysayers were doing was just they were saying, well, this is just a bogus thing. Basically, what you're doing is you're setting up a straw man, and then you're chopping him down because you're fighting against something that doesn't exist. I mean, you're creating a problem yourself that the other person never even, you know. We've been around that all of our lives. So anyway, that's not really what I wanted to say. I was wanting to talk. Or what's been on my heart is some other stuff regarding the denomination that I've came out of, and I guess a longing to see the stuff that's been covered up so long totally exposed. And I think we're a lot of us who are waiting for that for a lot of the things that have been covered up all these years, you know.
Yeah, it's not only in
the topic.
It's not only in that denomination that you came out of. It's all, most of them, you know.
Yeah.
All of them have wrong doctrine, you know, that's going to send people to hell. It's
that's
the way it is. But that's why we do like the Lord says, you know, we just believe for these people to come out of there, call out them dry bones, as we talked about earlier.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
As far as the tribulation goes, from what I can gather in the scriptures, and I have in the past studied them and studied what David said and other people have said, and my conclusion is that we haven't begun because the covenant hasn't been signed. And if the covenant hasn't been signed, there's no tribulation until that's done to start it. So, and the man-child of Revelation 12 hasn't... been anointed yet, and so, you know, that's just a few little items there. David talks about it a whole lot better than I can. He can communicate it a whole lot better than I can, but I just believe that we're right there at the edge of this thing happening. I don't see how the Lord can tell us so many times in so many words just in the last few weeks. Not months and months. I'm talking about just in the last few couple of two or three weeks now, that he's told us that the shaking is coming, and that the man child is going to be anointed and what have you, you know. So but that's what we're looking for. And that's what our hope is in right now. That makes sense?
Yeah, I just feel like the Lord is so merciful because I think, if it is prophetic, more than literal at this point, it's or possibly a dry run or something like that. I think it's God's been very merciful with some of us because it's. I think what it's doing is it's putting in people's hearts what to look for, what things mean, and giving people time to repent and, you know.
Yeah, he is. He's got a whole lot more mercy than grace than we do, don't he?
Yeah.
I agree with you there. I agree that his grace and his mercy far exceeds anything that I could ever could hope for, you know. So, praise God. If he stretches it out for ever how long it is, I don't think it's going to be long because he flat told us that it was going to, the shaking was going to be this year. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, something has to be, if President Obama's term is cut short, that means it has to be within, what is that, before January, the middle of January or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, and the prophecies are pointing to a change. Well, if that's the case, you can't possibly go beyond this year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's certain things that are kind of locked down there. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a back door, if you want to.
Yeah. What we have to do as a child of God is make sure we're ready whenever this thing it takes place. And if we do that, we'll be fine. You know, we'll be accounted righteous, as the Lord says. So that's what we ought to be doing, just like we've been talking about these last many years, you know. Just get your heart right with God and stay right with him and learn and mature. As you learn these things, go ahead and do what he says. Obey what his commandments tell us to do. And believe his promises. Repent and believe. That's what he said. Repent and believe. And as we figure out that we've gone astray here or there or wherever, then we repent and we get back on track and we learn and we go ahead and do what he tells us to do then, you know. And that's all we can do. It's nothing that we do, just like you talked about earlier. It ain't nothing that we can do, I can do, you can do, or anybody else can do. It's God himself that works it in us. That's why we have to look in the mirror and see Jesus every day. As 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, that's the faith he wants us to do. We call those things that are not as though they were. I am just like Jesus. I walk this earth just like Jesus. He's given me in Luke 10:19 power over all, authority over all the power of the enemy. And I don't leave nothing out. And when you learn that, when we all learn that, whoo, my goodness, you talk about power and signs and wonders from heaven that God's going to do for his people. Glory to God. And, you know, and I believe this anointing that he's got coming for us that he talks about in Hosea and Joel is going to come. It's going to help everyone get over that hump, and God wants us over that hump. He wants us up on in that New Jerusalem. He wants every one of us up in there. All of us are not going to make it, but those who are striving to stay with God and to obey God and to seek him with all your heart, like the Psalm 45 gal and the Song of Solomon, Shulamite bride, and also Esther, you know, you have to put all of those types and shadows together and just do like they did, you know, just believe. Just believe God's doing that work in you and do everything that you can to believe and rest in the knowledge that God is in control. Everything around you that happens is for a reason. And then you search that reason out. And if you need to repent, you repent. And if you don't, it's a trial of your faith. And so you just sit back and believe God. And that's what he wants us to do. David has said this, and I've said it too. God is not a respecter of person. He is a respecter of faith. So if you've got faith to believe what the Word of God says, regardless of what your mind, your natural eyes, or your natural ears is hearing, then you are accounted as righteous. Forget the natural and go for the spiritual. That's what God wants. He wants you to believe His Word over and above anything that you can see or hear. That's God. And He will honor your obedience to Him. If He says, by your stripes you're healed, then bless God, believe it, and go on. Just like this man that, Tracy's dad is doing, praise God. And we're just believing with him. And that's what we do as Christians, brothers and sisters. We believe with the brothers and sisters, and we lift him up to God. And God gets those, somebody was thinking that, talking about that last week, I believe, about the lights coming forth. The prayers of the saints going up as lights. You know, I told you about Buddy and his wife and how the Lord, he saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And as the prayers of the saints went up from Maryland, he saw the prayers come up as neon signs that had Maryland's name written on each beam of light that came up. And that was the prayers of the saints. And he just smiled. And the next week she was out of there. Just in a few days, she was out of the hospital, out of harm's way, because she believed and she had the brothers and sisters in Christ praying for her. And that's what we do. That's our job. We lift up one another because we love one another and we want us all to succeed in this walk that he has for us. Praise God. That's God's work in his saints. I know I'm kind of getting off the subject of the end time stuff, but God, this is all end time stuff. God wants a person that believes what his word says. Believe it over and above anything that might come in our way. Over and above the enemy that tries to hinder your walk with Christ, you know. Those symptoms come on you that you had been in fear of before. If they come on, you just rebuke them. Say, no, I ain't going to go for that in Jesus' name. I don't have to put up with it. I'm not under the curse. Praise God. You go and get away from me. I remember David Hogan. A lot of you remember him. I don't know. I think he's still around. But I think he got off into some false revival or something. I don't know. But anyway, I remember him talking about walking up a hill to go pray for a friend of his that was dying on the bed up there, and he had called for him to come up there and pray for him. And on the way up there, he had had a heart attack, and the last few feet before he could get to the cabin that his Indian friend was in, he had to crawl in. He's hurting so bad in his heart. He crawled in, laid his hand on his friend's hand, on his friend's body, and commanded healing power of God all over him, commanded healing in his body. And the guy jumped up and prayed for David, and David was healed also. So, you know, that's the faith that we've got to have. We've got to know beyond a shadow of doubt that God's going to back up his word, trusting him to back up what his word says. Amen. Okay, I'll get down off my soapbox. That's not a soapbox, folks. That's the truth. God wants our faith. He wants us to exhibit our faith, confess him before men. When the doctor says that you're going to die in 2 weeks, you tell him, no, doc, that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, I'm going to live, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live through and past that 2 weeks and 2 years and 20 years, praise God. I'm going to last till Jesus comes back. That's what you do. You confess God before men. Don't worry about what they think. It don't make no difference. It's what God thinks. That man ain't got, he can't save you. He can't do any more to you than put you in under the grave. That's all he can do. But God can send you to hell for not believing him. Now, I'm not trying to put anybody in condemnation for going to a doctor. You go what your faith allows you to do. I'm talking about at some point in time, we all have to come to that where we just believe. Because during the tribulation, you're not going to have access to the pharmakia, the pharmacy, all of that stuff. That's not going to be available to you unless you take the mark. What you're going to do then? Might as well go ahead and walk into this thing without all of that stuff and start believing God and start, you know, start believing and praising God for your healing or your deliverance or whatever it is, you know. So anyway, anybody got any comments? Anybody got any comments?
Hey, Brother Hare?
Yeah, Charlie, go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say it doesn't matter what the sickness is or anything. God gave us a real good promise. He said, you shall live and not die. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. You shall live and not die. What does that mean? That means that curse can't come on you. Praise God. Amen, Charlie. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Brother Hare.
Go ahead, Charlie.
The curse can't come on a person when they're blessed. There's no way for it to happen.
That's absolutely correct, Charlie. All it can do is try to, and you can allow it, but you can rebuke it just as well. It's a whole lot better to go ahead and rebuke that thing when it comes on you. Oh, I'm getting a headache. No, you ain't. You know, the other morning I woke up and I had this symptom of a headache come on me. I said, no, I'm not accepting that. In Jesus' name, you go right now. And it had to go by the time I got ready to go downstairs. It left. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I was thinking about what Malcolm was talking about, and I was circling back to that. I got up early, listened to the Bible study, and was in prayer, and I was outside all day, and I was pretty much expecting an earthquake all day, and got home this afternoon and was sitting in a chair looking out across the looking out across the fields and stuff, and I thought, you know what? I bet the Lord has, even though we didn't have a physical earthquake or there was nothing that we could see, there may have been a rumbling or a spirit or a John the Baptist awakening or, you know, something like that. Something of that nature may have started today, and it's something that we couldn't see or feel, but we know it's coming. And so I came in and I asked for a verse, and I put my finger down on Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. And I got to thinking about that, and I was thinking, no matter when, where, or what comes, just like Charlie was saying there just a minute ago about all the promises we have, and like you just said, we need to always be ready. And you know, God was probably doing something today that a shaking, whether it be a revival or a spiritual shaking or something like that. It had to happen somewhere, somehow. And the verse just kind of encouraged me that we always need to be ready, like you were saying. I just thought I'd share.
Amen. Yeah, that is imperative that we all are ready when this thing. Don't be like the five foolish virgins. You know, say, well, it didn't happen yesterday, so it ain't going to happen today. Or something like that. Whatever it is. Always, always have your wicks clipped and oil in your lamp. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to fill you up every day. And always get in the Word every day. Always talk to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. All right, anybody else?
Me again. And how about, I believe the Lord wants to keep our lamps clean so our light can shine forth. Amen?
Amen, that's right. Keep that lamp clean. Don't get no finger marks on them lamps. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? All right, did anybody get a verse for today? Did you ask the Lord to give you a verse for today?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I didn't exactly ask for a verse today. I asked for it for Tuesday, but we weren't on because we were visiting with some folks here. I'd like to share that one today if I can.
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
It's John 2:20. The Jews, therefore, said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days?
Okay.
I just thought it was, you know, kind of significant to the New Madrid quake that it comes 3 days after the East Coast.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, that was what happened in Jesus' day. So we'll see how it happens here. Praise God. You know, the Lord took the curse on himself, didn't he? So we wouldn't have to be crucified. And so we just, we believe what his word says. We walk accordingly. And we just see what happened. Praise God. I still believe that we're going to see something, you know, soon, very soon, quickly, is what the Lord said, quickly, very quickly. I don't know how long that is. Malcolm, you have any idea how long very quickly is with the Lord? I sure don't. All right, anybody else get a word?
Hey, Michael, could I share the one I got for Tuesday, too, even though we didn't come on Tuesday?
Yeah, sure, go ahead, Anna.
Thanks. It was Nehemiah 6:15-16, and it kind of fit with Matthew's. It said, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, that all the nations that were about us feared, and were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God.
Yep. Amen. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days, and it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, that all that all the nations that were about us feared, and were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The enemy's going to tremble in their boots. Praise God. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I got Jeremiah 51. My finger was kind of between the verses 11 and 12, and I'll read those. Make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. Jehovah has stirred up the spirits of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon, to destroy it. For it is vengeance of the Lord and the vengeance of his temple. And verse 12 says, set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon.
Okay, there you go. Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. He going to do it, y'all. All right, anybody else? You know, I hadn't had time to listen to Wednesday night's broadcast, what David said and shared. So I'm kind of at a disadvantage to what y'all heard. So y'all may have to tell me that is whatever, you know, whatever he shared. I didn't get even a chance to talk with him about it. So anyway, anybody else get a word?
Hey, it was good.
Well, I'm sure it was. Yeah. He told me he was going to talk about everything that we had gotten, you know, so praise God. And I know most of what he probably talked about. I know all about the dreams and the words we've gotten. So, all right. Anybody else get a word?
This is Gaynold. I got Isaiah 14:29. It was a reference again, and it 14:29 says, "Philistia, rejoice not, O Philistia, all of thee, because the rod that thou smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth an adder, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And that is speaking of those who are coming against. It was talking about the Philistines who came against Israel. And so it's just talking about those people who come against God's people, that what they have coming for them is a fiery flying serpent. So that's what they're calling upon themselves.
Amen. Yeah, that goes back to that old adage that I used to recite as a kid, you know. I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. That's what happens when you come against God's people. All right.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else get a word of God, word from God? Nobody else got a word? Okay. Let's see. I got Ezekiel 47 and 47, 6 through 10, I think, 9 or 10, I don't know, we'll see. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, upon the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue forth toward the eastern region and shall go down into the Araba, and they shall go toward the sea. Into the sea shall the waters go, which were made to issue forth, and the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living creature which swarmeth in every place, whether the rivers come, shall live. Y'all talking about revival? Oops. And there shall be a very great of fish for these other, and the waters of the sea shall be healed. Y'all hear that? Everything shall live whithersoever the river cometh. Praise be to God. If that ain't revival, that ain't a God in heaven. That's revival, y'all. Awesome. Praise God. 6 through 9. Okay. Anybody else?
Brother Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, I got Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love that Isaiah 61. Thank you, Lord. That whole chapter
is
good.
That's revival.
That is, absolutely. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? There's revival of two of them right there. I don't know if I was muted or not. Anybody else got a word? Okay. What y'all want to talk about now? Huh? Praise God. Where's your treasures at? Where's all our treasures at, y'all? Anybody know where our treasures are? Treasures are in heaven, aren't they? They're not anything down here that we can rely on. Praise God. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about, or got any questions about anything in the Word of God? Maybe one of us can answer it. Okay, let's see what we can. I got a little something we can talk about if you want to. Over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it's a familiar verse that we're all familiar with, or should be. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written. But the righteous shall live by faith. Who is God talking to here? He's talking to his people, isn't he? In Romans chapter 1 and 7, it says, this. He said, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, that's God's people, called to be saints. So he's talking to God's people there. He ain't talking to the world. He's not offering this power of God to the world. He's offering it to us, the saints. A lot of people misrepresent what God's, the denomination misrepresent what God is talking to, about here. And too many people sell God short and themselves short. And they want that salvation experience to be just a line that's drawn in the sand that you step over when you shake the pastor's hand. And then from then on, you can just count on the fact that you stepped over that line way back when, April the 5th, 1947, you know, or something like that. It ain't got nothing to do with your motivation to continue to walk in that salvation. Listen, that word salvation, y'all heard this from David before, is that soteria word that says all my needs supplied like a little baby. Y'all remember that? And it encompasses every aspect of salvation. In other words, deliverance, salvation, preservation, healing, all of those things. That's all a part of our salvation. And too many people see salvation of something that was manifested when they received, you know, they walked over that line, so to speak. But listen, there was something that happened when we were saved. Our spirit was saved. And that enabled us to walk into the kingdom with this renewed spirit. But the Bible teaches that our soul still has need of sanctification. Y'all all know that. Your soul is born again through your obedience to the truth. I think we really need to go over this time and again, because sometimes we forget these things. We have to bear fruit in our lives, in our soul. And if you look closely, that word there in Romans 1:16, it says the power of God unto salvation. And he's speaking to people like us, the beloved of God. And there's a manifestation there unto salvation. Lets us know that there's a manifestation that we're expecting somewhere down the road. So it's a walk, isn't it, that we do. A lot of people don't expect that manifestation. They believe that they're going to be changed when the rapture happens. You know, they're just going to automatically be changed, and they're going to be walking like Jesus because Jesus automatically changed them. No. You know, they, a lot of them tell you they've been saved, that they've been delivered. They don't believe it by faith that it's going to happen manifestly at that rapture, that secret rapture, so to speak. And that's something the devil has done to deceive the church. And it blinds the church to the great glory of God that he wants to give us all, everything that he told us he's going to give us as we continue to walk in the gospel. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That unto salvation ain't talking about something in your past. It's talking about something coming down the road, something that we walk into as we repent and believe the word of God. 1 Peter 2:1 says, putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as new more babes. And obviously, he's talking about somebody who's already been born again, right? Long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Praise God. That here's somebody who's born again, but he needs to grow unto salvation. And that's the same thing he talked about when we read that Romans passage. We have to grow thereby. We grow from newborn babes unto salvation as we put away that wickedness, as we find out what's wicked and what ain't wicked. We put away those lies and hypocrisies and envies and all of that evil speaking that we did before. Praise God. Even after you're born again as babes, you grow unto salvation, he says. Matthew 24:13, Jesus said, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And too many people think, and they've been taught, that all they have to do is, and they're going to get everything they've already gotten, everything they've ever gotten, you know, they're going to get. I've heard that from pastors when I first came into the kingdom. You've gotten everything you're going to get from God. That's not true. Because your spirit is not your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. And the Lord has planned to manifest his salvation in your soul as well. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who by the power of God, how does that come? Who by the power of God, that comes through the gospel, don't it? Are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time or the latter end. And in 1 Peter 1:9, he said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It ain't received at the beginning of your faith. It's the end of your faith. The beginning of your faith is the salvation of your spirit. But the Lord sacrificed for us so that we could be born again in spirit, soul, and body. And that soul is the area of your life that you bear fruit, not in your spirit, but in your soul. That's where you're bearing the fruit of the mind, will, and emotions of Jesus Christ, because he is salvation, right? Praise God. You know what teaching the truth does? It takes away the shelter of people who are satisfied with that false step over the line, once saved, always saved stuff. Isaiah 28:14 says, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scoffers, that rule this people that is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste, and I will make justice the line and righteousness the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. There are people who shelter themselves from the conviction of God and from the responsibility that the truth brings. They do it with lies, and it takes away their responsibility to be obedient and to be faithful and to manifest anything past that first initial manifestation of Christ in their life, that born-again spirit. And that's why people invent these false doctrines to hide under. People invent them because it take away their responsibility. They don't want to be like Christ. But it's those who love truth and love Christ and desire to see the fullness of the good news, those who desire for his salvation to be complete in their lives. Because Christ is able to save to the uttermost. Now what he said? That's the people who draw near unto Christ. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost. And that word uttermost means completely. It's the same Greek word as completely. Them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. We're being saved, y'all, spirit, soul, and body. We're being saved 30, 60, and 100-fold as God's fruit is being born in every one of us. Praise God. And we all understand that we're saved by faith. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's because if you had the evidence of your salvation, you know who you'd be. Christ would be living in you fully, wouldn't he? you'd be delivered of all your sins, and you'd be walking in the Spirit constantly. And that's the manifestation of salvation. Too many people don't believe that's possible in this lifetime. Instead of receiving salvation by faith, they believe they've already received salvation by manifestation. And that's dangerous. As long as we're striving for a goal, and that goal is Christ's likeness, and we accept it by faith, Christ is going to empower us to get there. But if you don't have any expectation of going there, any hope of going there, then you've been short-circuited by the devil. Praise God. Listen, the demons don't want to lose their house, folks. They want to dwell in the midst of God's people. Isaiah 14 and 13 said, "And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north." They want to exalt their throne over the stars of God. Praise the Lord. Genesis 15, that's a demon. Genesis 15 and 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be." Well, y'all know that the stars are the people of God, according to what God told Abraham. The demons want to do this, and they don't want to lose their house, so they make war. They put thoughts in the hearts of people that they don't want to hear anyway. That devil hates the true gospel, because it's a power of God to save you and me both, to bring us into the manifestation of Christ and to deliver us from the curse of this world. He hates that, and he's going to war against it. He's going to come against you. All the time he's coming against us. The Lord came to conquer this old flesh and to live in its place, didn't he? In Colossians 1:27 it says, "To whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles," which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He came to be Christ in each one of us. In Acts 15:11, it says, "But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they." Well, we're used to saying, aren't we, "I'm saved." And that's so. That's rightly so, because we're claiming something by faith. We're speaking those things that are not as though there are. Healing, the blessing, all of the provisions of God that's associated with this salvation we're walking in. We're not saved, as some people think, to sin. We're saved from sin, folks. We're saved from the curse of sin. We've been delivered out of the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13, "Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." We're saved from everything that Deuteronomy 28 speaks of as being the curse that's been put on this world. And it's God's plan that there is a manifestation of that salvation in every one of us. Faith is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. It's the substance of the things hoped for. And God wants to give us the thing hoped for. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James Version says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We're not meant to walk by faith in what God has given the rest of our life. It's a means to an end. It's supposed to bring us this manifestation of God's salvation. And so what the apostle is saying here to other apostles, we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. We shall be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, listen to what it said. "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are being saved." That word "being" should be in there. "If," there is the qualifying word, "if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain." And there's a lot of people out there who don't accept that they can't believe in vain, or that they could have believed in vain. But it's clear right there if you don't hold fast to the word that was spoken unto you, the word of your salvation, the faith of your salvation, then you just believe for nothing. Being saved, not just saved, by which also ye are being saved. And we're being saved as we hold fast the word he preached unto us. Not the word we hear today, is it, from these apostate preachers? We're to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints in Jude 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And as you hold fast to that gospel, you're going to be saved. And there's a coming manifestation of our deliverance from this curse of sin and death. There's coming that manifestation of Christ in you as you endure in your faith, right? Colossians 1:27. To whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To them that are perishing, that should be, it says perish, it should be perishing, and unto us who are being saved. That's what it says in the original. It doesn't say that we are saved, but it says we are being saved. That's, it's a walk, isn't it? If you don't have that hope, it can't come to pass. You know why? Because what it says in Colossians, not, you know, that devil knows how to stop the manifestation of salvation. Colossians 1:21 says, and you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled. The original Greek word there for reconciled means an exchange. Y'all have heard that before. There's an exchange in Christ's body. He took the curse on himself and he gave us his blessings, right? What a man, that's a trade, isn't it? He took our nature and he crucified it on the cross and he gave us his nature. And all of that was accomplished. That's what reconciliation means. It was an exchange on the cross. Colossians 1:22. Yet now hath he reconciled, that word exchanged, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. If, you need to circle that, that's a condition, right? If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. And if you'll notice, both faith and hope are mentioned there. If so be that you continue in the faith, that is, calling those things that are not as though they were, right? Because they were. At the cross, we were delivered from the curse of sin and death. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. From the hope of the gospel. Well, that's a little bit different. Faith looks back. What does hope do? It looks forward. Hope is a firm expectation. And the people who believe by faith that Christ took away their sins, and who believe by faith that he bore their sins in his body, and who believe by faith that by whose stripes you were healed, and the people who believe those past tense promises, they also have a hope, don't they? In other words, they have a firm expectation of something that's coming down the road. See, one looks back and one looks forward. Everyone who has faith has hope, but not everyone who has hope has faith. Many people have hope for something they don't ever expect to get. But this is a firm expectation. This is someone who is believing that something is coming down the road. What is it? It's the fulfillment of the gospel. We have faith for that gospel. We accept the gospel that we were crucified with Christ and we don't live anymore, that the old man has passed away. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me. Well, I'm sorry. No longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Okay. Hang on just a second. I knocked something off my desk here. I knocked my little Kindle off. Had my feet up on the deal there and knocked it off. All right. So what do? We accept the good news, but we also expect it to come to pass. And that's where that hope comes in. That's the hope of the gospel. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we have a firm expectation that the Lord, who began a good work in us, is going to fulfill it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Man, that's the true gospel, isn't it? The false gospel is that you received everything you're going to get when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. I've heard that come out of preachers, so-called preachers' mouths. Call themselves teachers. Man, that ain't even in the Bible. That's a lying devil right there. You only received a down payment. You didn't get everything. You only got that down payment, praise God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 21 says, now he that establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. That's what the Bible says. God's going to finish the good work he started in us if you give him some faith. Let's see another verse here. 2 Corinthians 2 and 15. For we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God in them that are saved. That's supposed to be being saved. In them that are being saved and in them that perishing. That are perishing. And to the one a savor from death unto death, to the other a savor from life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And then, hang on just a second. Okay. No place in the Bible does it read you are saved except by faith, right? Mark 11:24. Remember that one? Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. That's supposed to be past tense, and ye shall have them. And how come Jesus says that? It's because we did receive them. We received everything 2,000 years ago at the cross. We were crucified with Christ, and we were resurrected with Christ. So it's now Christ who lives in us. Galatians 2:20 again, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Listen, we've received it all. And so anything that we pray for, we believe that we have already received it. That's what faith is. Faith calls the things that are not as though they were, right? Romans 4 and 17. It's a very familiar verse for all of us. As it is written, that Father of many nations have I made thee. Before him whom he believed, even God who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. That faith is the substance of the things hoped for while there's no evidence of it yet. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in the King James of Hebrews 11 and 1. We're justified by our faith, and that's because we're receiving our need through giving to God the substance of our faith, right? God reckons righteousness unto us. That's what justified means. He reckons righteousness unto us because we believe that Christ took away our sin and that he delivered us from the curse. Praise God. I'm going to stop right there and see if anybody's got any questions or would like to add to what we're talking about here about faith.
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk about something that happened to me on Saturday. I was listening to one of the things you can get off of the internet on How Shall We Die. You know, he's got it. You can listen to it. And after I listened to the first chapter, you know, I started reading the book of Philippians. And God was showing me through the whole book of Philippians that the way this Apostle Paul was behaving because of his death to self, he was actually bringing forth some people there in the praetorium to see how he lived, and it were turned out even for salvation for them. When I got to chapter 2, the how shall we die is all through that chapter. It talks about what you should do, you know, like in chapter 2, verse 5, it says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in God's form, counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself. And there's something that Jesus Christ had to do, to empty himself, taking on a bondman's form, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and endowed him with the name above every name. Then there's that verse everyone, I'm sure, heard quite a few times in churches everywhere, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God and the Father's glory. You know, Jesus' name is written in Revelation 19:13, where he says, let's see if I can remember what it says there. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And we pick up that nature, character, and authority, that mind, that will, and emotion, by faith, and this how shall we die is all functioned by faith. Even this, what Paul is showing us here in chapter 2 of Philippians, was all through him by faith, and he gives you and shows you great faithful aspects that you can have here in this chapter, and actually throughout all of Philippians, and even in most of all places in the Bible. And you know, Jesus had to attain that faith too when he was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism there. And he emptied himself, taking a bondman's form. We have to be in a bondman's form. We are bound to Jesus. I got my little note there in Proverbs 3:3, where you got mercy and truth. You're bound to that. It's like two cords, and it keeps you on the straight and narrow. You know, you need some mercy, you're going to get some truth. You need some truth, you're going to get some mercy. And by the time you make it to the 22nd verse, you got an ornament of grace around your neck. And I'm just like, the righteous shall live by faith. And, of course, faith that worketh love. is what I have above my door as I leave every morning to go to work. I have that in a printed on a piece of paper in all different colors for the words there, and you have to have a prayer that you leave with, you know, a journey, like, I don't know, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. That's a Passover there. Now, I it sort of dawned on me once when I'm going in under the door there as I'm leaving that the righteous shall live by faith. That's something over top of me that we need to have all the time. It's that death to self by faith. And, it was just amazing. Like I listened to it, and then I was just happening to start the Philippians, and I was going, wait, I'm being ministered to here all through this whole book of Philippians. And, you know, I Colossians after there, you know, it was kind of the same thing, too, you know, all through that. And this is a very powerful scripture, emptied himself, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And that's that word of God, that's Jesus' name in 19:13. That word is right in the beginning of John too, chapter 1 of the John. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it was just a couple of seconds ago too, and it is again right now. And nothing was made that wasn't made through him. That's a creation now, and in him was life, and this life is the light of men. And make sure the light's on when you look in the mirror, because that's the light of God. You don't get a reflection if all the lights are off when you look in a mirror. All the lights are on, and that light comes down from God and gives you life. It creates it in you day by day. And as I was telling my daughter once, you know, you got to die to yourself, you know, the soulish life. And I was trying to find a way so she can understand this. And, you know, sometimes you got to find ways to say things even to my daughter's 23. But, you know, you got to even have younger people to understand this. And I said to her, you know, there's an English saying that says, someone's trying to get your goat. I go, how can they get your goat? You're a lamb. You know, you're on the right side there. You know, how could they get your goat? You're a lamb, right? They can't get your goat. They can't get you going, you know. And, the simplicity of trying to explain sometimes to a child can actually even teach you. Anyways, that's what happened to me on Saturday, and I think this being a one soul in one mind, there you go, that's if that's anything about teaching you to dying to your self-life, and that's it right there, you know. Y'all think the same thing? Having the same love? Well, that's agape, and course, in number three, it says to even write the same thing. So, anyway, and to not be troubled in mind, nor spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, because we are all writing the same thing and we're all thinking the same thing. And we all have the same word, and that'll give us the same spirit and the same life. Like in that verse, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Well, I don't know if this was just something he gave me to for this death to self, but you know, if you read Philippians and you see what's happening to this guy, the manifestation that's coming through it, you know, then I think that would be just a wonderful thing that you'd be led by the Lord on this. And I'm sure everyone's got their Bible highlighted in places and notes written on the side. It's just wonderful to have the Lord teach you like that. Did that to me twice, actually. I bought some batteries for my MP3 player that was sitting on the shelf for the longest time, and I put the new batteries in, and the next lesson that came up, the very first thing that came up, I think it was Carl Klaus from a long time ago or something, and he was talking about the house of God and how we're this house of God, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it was just lovely that that was my very next thing that I was going to read too, because that's the book I was at. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That kind of went along with everything we talked about tonight. Praise God. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's right. How shall we die? I'm glad you pointed out that it was Philippians 2 that God chose you. You know, sometimes we don't realize, we kind of skip over a lot of things when we're reading the Word of God. But if we'll just think on one certain subject sometimes and find to find out what God's showing us, just like Andrew did in Philippians 2, man, it just comes alive for you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Andrew. That was good.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or pray about?
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Megan.
Yeah. Your teachings, sorry, I'm nervous, but your teachings match what I struggle with salvation and stuff. I'm now reading about salvation instant and progressive, and it really a confirmation to me. Hello?
Yeah. Megan, I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying. I know you're nervous. Don't be nervous. We're all family here. We love you. And we're just all one big happy family here. Tell me again now, are you saying that you like the teaching tonight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it matches what I'm struggling with.
Okay. All right. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. It should help you. And the book he's talking about is How Shall We Die? And you can listen to it on the internet on ubm.com, you know, .org, ubm1.org. I'll get it right in a minute. On the website. And it's a good teaching. Also, Sovereign God, and I don't know how many books he's got up there. There's a lot of teachings up there. Y'all all know that. Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Yeah, Megan.
I have one already. On How Shall We Die?
Oh, good. Awesome.
I have an Cisco copy.
Oh, okay, good. Good deal. Yeah, that's the way I like to do it. I like to read them. I like to listen to them, but I like to read them. I get more out of reading them than I do listening. Some people get more out of listening than they do reading, but I get more out of reading because I can slow down and I can read it all the way through first and get the gist of what's going on. Then I'll read it again the second time and study it. That's just me. That's the way I do it, and then get a whole lot more out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Megan?
What is the difference in condemnation and walking the Spirit? I mean, how can the difference between law and grace?
How do you walk in the Spirit? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Well,
how can you tell between Spirit and flesh?
Well, the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. Anybody want to try that one? Anybody want to answer that? The difference in the Spirit and the flesh is that when you walk in the Spirit, you're doing everything the Word tells you to do. You're walking as Jesus walked. When you walk in the Spirit, he came to fulfill the law, and by that, and he explained it when he went through the commandments, you know, thou shalt not murder. He said, if you are angry at your brother in the Spirit, that's like murdering your brother. And so it's things like that. I can't. Is anybody, somebody help me out here. I'm struggling. It's hard to explain for me without knowing the scriptures behind it right off the hand. I ain't making a bit of sense here. Walking in the Spirit is walking like Jesus. Walking in the flesh is walking like Michael Hare used to do. In other words, we would walk entirely by our sight. We would walk entirely by what we heard. We walked entirely by what our flesh, what we felt. Walking in the Spirit is walking like the Word of God tells us to walk. That's what walking in the Spirit is. We do what the Word of God says. If he says that we call those things that are not as though they were. Okay, that's walking in the Spirit. The promises of God, the promises of, yeah.
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought, and then I can.
Okay. Well, the promises of God are all there for our taking and our utilizing them only by faith that God will do what he says he'll do in the Word of God. That's walking in the Spirit. That's believing what God says. Walking by the flesh is when the doctor tells you you're sick and you believe it. That's walking by flesh. But walking by the Spirit is when the doctor tells you you're sick and you don't believe it because the Word of God says, by his stripes you were healed, past tense, and you believe it. Then you say, no, doc, I'm not under the curse. I don't have to believe that, and I don't. That's what walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh is. Does that make any sense, Megan?
Yes.
Okay. Now, go ahead, Malcolm. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to, let's see. No, I'm on the phone. Okay. I was just going to give, like, examples. I like those examples you gave, Michael. I just was thinking of some other examples that, like if you're in a non-spirit-filled church, sometimes they'll have committee meetings that will decide who the elders are going to be for that year. And that's, to my mind, walking in the flesh. And then, and who is going to be our pastor? We'll have committee meetings, and we'll negotiate, and all kinds of stuff. That's walking in the flesh. And then, whether or not women should be elders, or women should be pastors, or things like that. We're going to have a committee meeting, and we're going to and decide, or whether or not gays, we should have gays as pastors or leadership in the church. We're going to have committee meetings to and bring in professionals to help us. It's all I better not get too excited here, but anyway, it's we've all been there, I think, with different denominational churches that try to make up for the Holy Spirit with committee meetings and negotiation and bribing behind the scenes and money and if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you and all this kind of stuff.
Amen. I want to apologize for kind of stumbling there. I had my mind completely 500 miles away from what you were asking, Megan. I just apologize. It took me a minute to get my bearings.
That's okay.
Oh. No, you're doing good. Okay. Anybody got a prayer? We need to pray for anybody before we close out tonight? Or anybody got any comments before we close out? All right, Father, I just thank you so much for the time that we've spent with you and with your people. Lord, I just love everybody here, and I know that there's love in this room. I feel it all the time, and I thank you, Lord, that we love each other, and gosh, it's so awesome to be around people who love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect us over the next few years. You're going to keep us in that bubble of protection that you can only provide yourself. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us the faith to believe that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to give us all a good night's sleep. Open us up tomorrow morning for a new revelation in your word, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our God, and we love you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Good night, saints. We'll see you hopefully next week, God willing. Amen.